gracious Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you, Father, for another fine day that we can gather together in thy presence. Come in here, Lord Jesus, to be judged by thy word, examine our life, and look into thy word, Father, that we can understand more and more of you and more about ourselves. As your children, Lord, how that we should live the life for you. It'd be worthless, Father, for us to spend hours on Sunday, Lord, and weekdays, and just to even read the Bible when our life is not match up to your holy word. Help us, Father, to be what we ought to be. Fruits that are planted by the rivers of living water, and a fruit that bear, a tree that bear forth much fruits, Lord, Lord, for thy glory. For we know, Lord, any fruit trees that bear not much fruit or don't even bear fruit whatsoever is hewn down and cast into fire. But we ask the Lord, we sincerely, Lord, as your people, really love you. Open our hearts, soul, mind, spirit, and body. So, Lord, as we are in thy presence right now and you're preaching thy word, we pray, Father, that we open up the learning of thy word to understand and receive it, Father, and live it. So, Lord, bless us now. Open our ears and hearts, O Lord, to receive. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're in the book of Acts. We're at chapter 9. You know, one thing about the apostles, as we study this book of Acts, you know, it begins with how God used the apostle to spearhead the beginning of the church, to build a church for himself. And we realize that now, if you read one of the epistles of John later on, John said that we have handled the word of life. Because the apostles were there, were the witness. And we already read a few places over in the book of Acts. We are witnesses. We have handled the word of life. And you're willing to testify, and you're willing to be persecuted and be put to death. You know. So, they are living in a society, a nation among which the people of Israel live in the Roman Empire. But as a nation of people in that land, they have the custom, they have their tradition, then they have their Jewish faith. So everybody was keeping to the custom, keeping to the tradition of the teaching they were handed down. Of course, in those days already there were different groups and different ones have different opinions like we have today in Christianity or Christendom, you know, the different denomination. But yet, when they came to this word of life, When it came to Jesus, the man, they knew that he was more than a man, that he was the Son of God. And having believed in that, and witnessed not in the miracles and the life of Christ, but the resurrection and his ascension, and with boldness they testify. Now, with this sort of testimony, of course, was contrary to Judaism. It stirred up the heart, or he stirred up, or we will say, a nest, a comfort nest of the people. Here he introducing something new to the people. It is a no-no. So the religious leader, of course, will safeguard their tradition, their faith, their custom, and they didn't persecute them. But, you know, what we are seeing right now, already in chapter 9, already when Jesus told the disciples before he ascended, he said, you shall go forth into the world and preach the gospel. Beginning first in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then to the uttermost part of the world. So we have seen the gospel already from Jerusalem, got outside the city of Jerusalem to Judea, and gone over to Samaria. And we've seen that, you know what Philip was have done. You see. And then not only in Samaria, he moved south into the Gaza Strip area, the Gaza desert area. But now we are looking at it as the gospel began to go further north. And from there it spread all over Asia Minor. Now remember this, you and I, we are privileged, we are now in this generation, 2,000 years later. And we have this gospel, this faith, all because of the faith of the apostles, and from the apostles God moved to use the evangelists, and later on others to spread the word of God. And many of them died for the faith, so that we can have it today. If they did not have that faith and to spread it and hold on to it and bear a testimony for Jesus Christ that he was the Son of God, you and I would not know about it. Well, you and I would still be in paganism. So the book of Acts is really an important book for us to see how God used them and study early church and bring it to us today. Alright, so now let's go to Acts chapter 9. We finished off last week with the conversion of Saul and how that he was prayed for and his eye was healed. And then straight away in verse 20, chapter 9, where he straight away began to preach Christ in the synagogue. And I think that is, I hope and I pray that if you really have the Holy Spirit, like Paul, like Saul had, immediately there was this life in him, and he began to preach the gospel, he began to share the truth. And I hope that you do what you have received, to be willing to share with somebody. You be prayerful every day. Lord, you show me someone, guide me, that I can speak to somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you that I do not know how, then you live your life as you should be as a Christian. Don't let your colleague, your neighbor, your relative look upon you as someone who profess Christ but not living that life. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are seasoned with salt. So if we are the light of the world, but we covered ourselves in a bushel, then what? A light you don't light a candle and put it in the cupboard, then the whole world will not be bright. If you are seasoned with salt, then let your seasoning be a taste to people. You know, when I became a Christian, my half brother and sister, they knew that I'm a Christian. So my life changed. But they hated me. They not really hated me, but they, well, sort of despised, said things, you know, that I'm stupid or something, and that why you're having a Western religion. Now, if I'm a Christian and I keep quiet and don't bear the name of Christ, they wouldn't know. Right? They wouldn't have said that. But I'm going to tell them, I said, Jesus Christ, He's my Lord and my Savior. No matter what you say about it being a Western religion, and if we are Chinese, we should hold on to our Chinese tradition and our Chinese religion or whatever. No? You know? So, your faith must be like light to the world. If it's not as bright as a bulb, at least be as bright as a candlelight. Remember the simple song that you sing? Huh? As a candle. You in your own corner and I in mine. So all the candlelight burns bright, it'll be bright. or even has a little candlelight in the dark forest, that lightens up. Everywhere they could see that light. You know. So now, in verse 21, when all that heard him were amazed and said, "Is this not the one that destroyed them which call on the name or this name in Jerusalem and came hither for their intent that they that he might bring them bound to the chief priests and so increase the more in strength?" Because his task, his life was completely changed. Everybody realized that he was that hooligan, the gangster-like fellow, you know, who's going out all to get the people off the way and bow them to Jerusalem, the chief priests. But now, the more he tested them, the more the people look at him, they wonder at him. They wonder at the change of a man. Truly, the gospel changed life. I don't know about you. As I said, you know, heard my pastor said many times, the day that I give my life to the Lord, the very day when I went home from the church, something took hold of me. Being that we are poor in the family, every six children in my mother's side. And we only pocket money like 10 cents or 15 cents a day for school. And everybody have their own 10 cents, 15 cents, 20 cents. How do we share with each other? You, yours, mine is mine. But that particular day, something took hold of me. I went back on the way. I went to this snack store. I bought 10 cents. You know that 10 cents is very big, huh? You all know that, don't you? You know that you bought your a bowl of wonton meat, or wonton noodle, is 30 cents to 30 cents, and the maximum 30 cents, you have more ingredients. And that today, wonton noodle is how much? $6 for the good one, $24 for a medium. Right? So you see how much money that is. So that one, that 10 cents is a dollar. And I bought those dried sotong, dried squid. You all know the dried squid? Yeah, the snack, very nice thing. I bought it home. And those, of course, they use newspaper to wrap your snack. Brought it home and share with the brothers. I mean, I don't know what caught hold of me. Usually, if I buy the snack, it's all to myself. Now, that's why when the love, we talk about love, the song that we sing, a thing called love. Something took hold, and that love is agape. Something came down from above and changed life. Paul saw, there he is. Change your change. Huh? First there was no love. He think that it was love for God to try to get these people and bow them and let them be beaten or stoned or whatever. But here is something different. And with boldness he preached the love of God. That's what the gospel is all about. And after, and verse 23, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Well, at first, he was doing a service for the chief priests. They liked him. Go get those people of the way, or the people of this way. Remember I said, in those days, the believer, they were not called Christians. They were called the people who believe in the way. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So this is the way that we walk, the way of the cross, the way of the man called Jesus. And Saul was getting done. But now, because he was converted, they turned against him now. The Jew took counsel to kill him, not to bring him to prison, to kill him. You know, if I would live in that day, you know how terrifying it would be. I mean, just because of my faith, people want to kill me. But Saul knew the faith. He knew what truth is. He knew that he had life. And he's born now. But their laying away was known of Saul. And they watched the gate day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. Well, was Paul, was Saul a coward? That he knew, oh, they were laying him at the gate and watching the gate every day and night. And that he has to escape. Why? Why don't you just go down and say, well, you know, my life's in the hand of God, and just walk through, God will protect me. But you know, God give you wisdom. God don't ask you to be foolhardy. Is that alright? If you see a fear of stuff coming after you, automatically you run. You don't say, ah, I have faith in God. Let the doorman or what is that, pit bull come after me. You know what I mean? I mean, so you try to act brave and all these things. But third time he needed wisdom. Saul decided to have those who love him help him get out of the city. Walk. Not walk through the gate. So he could fight, live to fight another day. So the same goes, right? Yes. Even Jesus, when he was free, he knew that people are going to throw stone at him. He quickly moved out of the way. You see. And that's what Christians should do. Not like what I saw on the news that happened recently in America, where you have this Muslim gathering and then you have this woman who called herself a Christian, went up there to the podium or pulpit or stand where the Muslim leader was speaking to declare that this is their capital. They want to make it their capital. She went up there, we are Christians, and they're fighting. Now, what is the use that the police can break them up? I mean, that's foolhardy. What difference does it mean? Because we're living in the world that belongs not to God, but to Satan. Can you fight a system? No. That's what we have back in history. If you ever know about England, Ireland, you see, and there is this Pastor Paisley. I can't remember his first name. You know, and he wanted to be, well, he's a preacher, he wanted to be part of the political field. And he always become a politician. And causes a lot of fighting within that country there. You know. So, well, you know, we are living in a multicultural society here in Singapore. Different religion, right? All we can do is we pray for the government. The Lord may give them wisdom. When you come to casting vote, you vote for what is right. Vote for what you know that can give you a good government. But because it does, something doesn't go your way, you want to protect such a way that you're foolhardy, it's not going to work. Sometimes you think that, well, something you should let it be, because you cannot do a thing. And then we need to be wise, like Saul, to get out of the way so he could live to fight another day. Verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he assailed to join himself to the disciple. But they were all afraid of him, and they believed not that he was a disciple. So you don't blame the apostles there in Jerusalem. Saul came to Jerusalem. He wanted to, you know, join to them, want to show himself that he's a believer, that he's part of them. Everybody was just kind of afraid. Don't blame. You know, he came from Damascus and then he went over to Jerusalem. Hey, we heard of you, man. I mean, look at Ananias. Who prayed for him, when God tried to pray for him, he said, hey Lord, you know who this guy is? I mean, he was telling the Lord, you know, this one is the one that has been doing a lot of damage. Obviously. You know, when I was in the ministry, all those years, India, Philippines, and Africa, there were a lot of times when I have people, well, those who pretend to take the side and agree with me, and there are those that are just like enemy, come and say things and break up the service. Yeah, I went to a church one time in Malawi. The minister said, yep, we believe. I went to the pulpit and I preached there the first 5 minutes, and next moment I know I was carried out of the church. Think about it. Just about nice. Went to a place in Congo, he preached. And then he said for about 15 minutes, and here two deacons and lift his shoulder. He said, literally, one of each lift him up, and he said, my feet is above the ground. And the moment they took me out the door and drove me out and took my bag came after me. Yep. You see, when we stand for the truth, people who are in tradition and custom, they will not want to receive it. So of course they were afraid. But Barnabas took him. So we later on we know him so well, his Barnabas brother. Now Paul and Barnabas, you know, the name is so well known. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostle and declared to them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how that he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So Barnabas was a witness to it and told the disciple that this is a converted man. Yeah, of course, you know, when you hear a name that sorted all the thing, you know, somebody wanted to join us, we would think about it. We do not want to receive him. Because in those days, you must have known, not like today. If somebody want to come, and say, I'm going to come, and say, you believe the faith, you sit down. Right? No problem. But those days, they were afraid because the church just began. Just begun. So you find that he was the one who seemed to destroy them. Came right to me, he might be coming here to do something bad. So they refused it. But Barnabas testified otherwise that, yup, he was a changed man, alright? And verse 28, and he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spoke more in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. Now remember, these Grecians are the Greek speaking Jews, alright? Remember, the gospel is just only going to the Jews, and the Jews only want to get the gospel to the Jews. Okay? And then God was slowly working to get the gospel to the Gentiles. Remember that? Alright. And so, but they went about to slay him. Which, now these Greek-speaking Jews wanted to kill Saul, because Saul already was a convert. Right. So now Saul seems to have been caught in the center. One, from those Jews, religious, who want to kill him. And for those believing Christian Jews, who also want to get him. So he is caught in the middle. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Tarsus is a place, is the hometown of Saul. He lives there. And Tarsus is in, today in the place what we call Turkey. Alright, in the southern part on the eastern side, well, just next to, very close to Syria. In that time, that place is, well, is generally known as Galatia in the area, or Cappadocia and all those different provinces. Then had the church just rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and where he fight. So now, Saul is taken out to Tarsus. So as long as Paul is away, that's the last problem. Because there are people of Saul, and people when they attack Saul, so okay, so come on, just go back to your hometown. And so when Saul went up there, so all those churches in that area of Galilee, Judea, and Samaria were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit will multiply. Watch this. It says, walking in the fear of the Lord. What do you mean by walking in the fear of the Lord? Walking means, you know what they say about the saying, walk the talk. Walk the talk. You say you're a Christian, alright, and you walk the talk. Walk the talk means live the life. Live the life, show forth your life. And they, these believers at that time, they walk and they live the life in the reverence of God. And Because they know who God is. Alright? Walking in the fear of the Lord. Now, don't always use the word fear is afraid. Are you afraid of God? If you are afraid of God, something is wrong with you. But don't say, no, I'm not afraid of God. I you want to fight him. That's just so wrong. It doesn't mean that. In the fear of the Lord means that in reverence. In the knowledge that He is your Creator, your Savior, you should respect Him, to honor Him. Right? Not like some, Christian, this doesn't matter, that doesn't matter. Baptism this way can do, baptism that way also can do. Is that what it is? That's not it. And that's why, you know, one thing about it, I see a lot of Christians in the world today. Under grace that we have, and yet we make the grace of God a disgrace. And people in the Old Testament time, they were under the law. And when they were under the law, they kept the law. The best they know how to keep it. Huh? And just know the severity of that breaking of the law in those days. You get stoned to death. Alright. Verse 32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints, which dwelt at Lydda, and there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. Well, you have this, you know, again, as I said, this is the beginning of the church. And there's a lot of miracles, a lot of healing. A lot of supernatural. Even look, the conversion of Saul was a supernatural act. Not just, of course, my life, my conversion, your conversion is supernatural, but not as dramatic as Saul. Wow, just imagine. I mean, that man was a rascal, you know. He was so religious. He was doing harm to Christian. And yet God showed him grace. Now think about it. Huh? That's why he can say that I am the chiefest of sinners. God, that's what the Bible said. God shows graciousness to whom He will. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Now, anyone can fault God? Can you fault Him? What was Saul so special? What was so special? You think about it. Because there's something about Saul. He was so zealous for God. And God showed him grace. You want to serve me? Alright. I will give you the grace and you will serve me. You will suffer persecution. You will suffer a lot of pain. Alright, anybody wants that? Come on, put up your hand. No? Yeah. The more, as the Bible said, the more that is given to you, the more that is required from you. Saul received a whole lot of grace from God, and God demands more from him. Oh, when I said that, please don't say, what else? I don't want more. So I do what I want. Really? What the Bible said, what is given to you, if you don't use that what is given to you, and keep it and walk in it, it will be taken away from you. Because why? You make a disgrace of God in your life. I have seen that many Christians. You know, if you don't come to church because you're lazy, you just find hard to get up in the morning. And by and by you don't come to church. You start falling away. You start to backslide. Backsliding is a very gradual process. Very insidious. To where one day I don't go to church anymore. Or some will say, well, you know, yeah, I went to church,
every week. I'm hearing the same old thing preached. I know all those things. You know, you always hear people say, I know all those things already. Now, we are studying the book of Acts. Do you know all this? You say, yeah, I know this. I read the book of Acts. Do you know what's actually happened? No. We just read the book of Acts many times. But we really don't know the background to the actual things that the people experience, really. We just read, this, and that. That's it. Now, if you ever want to read the scripture, study. You read them. But few verses, just meditate. And see what's going on. Now, we all know that Saul was doing this and that. And then God converted him. Oh, yeah, he got grace for him. That's it. But do you know how much thing went through his life? Do you know what's behind in the mind of God to deal with this man? Huh? Even when this man was converted, he went up to Jerusalem. He just wanted to join himself to the rest of the apostles and the people. They were afraid. God is still doing a work in the life. So, alright, go to Caesarea, go to Tarsus, go back to your hometown. God has to deal with these people over in Jerusalem. God is a very, very busy man. We all think the man upstairs, you know, some young men upstairs, you think that he's just relaxing? No. God is ever mindful of everyone. And he's working in your life. And Jesus said that he's still interceding for you. That the Holy Spirit will work in your life. Don't for a moment, I'm a Christian. I'll be okay. I'm going to rapture. You know. Some of the brother and sister are not longer with us for all various reasons. But I pray. Often and night I pray. That they keep their faith. That they keep their faith. Not just staying at home. Just trip from one church to another. Not doing very well. I told you several weeks ago, the brother and I told me that a brother in the church had a gift of knowledge and he saw what's happening here. I don't want to tell you what's going to happen here. I'm just watching how many times it's going to happen. Sure. That's what we need to understand the word, how God works. Not having our own opinion. You see. And many times when we have our opinion, we get ourselves into big trouble. We don't realize that. Being tossed to and fro. Here and there. Yes, we all want the same common thing. The church must have agape love. We want our fellowship together. That's for sure. Because one day we are all going to walk to meet the Lord in the end. And then we will see the brother from there, a sister from there, everywhere around the world, right? Well, the song that we have also in our songbook that we sing, they come from the east and west. They come from the land afar to feast with the king, right? We know this song, yes. I know Sister Granny came all the way from the north, from Norway. The husband of Sister Billy came here. Yeah, I mean, yeah, even those brothers in Africa, some of them in India, Philippines, America, why don't you hold a convention? We can come. So they say, I want to come here and I want to stay with you for a few months to learn. We don't have that kind of facilities. You know. And you know what? My WhatsApp. My number of people start giving out my numbers to different ones now. My WhatsApp is very long. Hold this. Hello, this is right there. I'm here now, you know. They received the book, they have been online, and they just want to check with me. You know, people, when people have the truth, they get excited. They want it. you see. But we need to understand that we cannot walk. How can two walk together unless they agree? I can fellowship with you. I can fellowship with the Presbyterian. I can sit down and fellowship with the Branhamite. But for us to join together in a ministry, how does it work? How does it work? I sat have coffee with Branhamites. I can go there and listen when they have minister come by outside our fellowship. Right? But how do we walk together? But again, can you join me? I want to go over to the country. Come, join me in the ministry. And I join you and you go and preach about Branham, 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 Branham. How can two walk together? You can't. If I want to preach there like what happened in fact in Nigeria in the 90s when I was there. In Ghana, the same. A student put me in and preach because the pastor invited minister from America. I know that these people are from the other side. I was the main speaker. I spoke the first message, the first day. And the minister came out. He tear down the whole thing. What? Brother Branham said this, Brother Gunn is wrong. Brother Branham said Brother Gunn is wrong. Wow. And there is about almost 1,000 people out there in this big auditorium. When I stood there to preach, because that is their example. When I stood there to preach, before I say anything, before I complete my sentence, they shout, Amen, Hallelujah, Amen, Hallelujah. And I continue to sing every sentence, the bunch with Hallelujah and Amen. So I hold my hand. I said, Brother, I says, please, don't say Amen. Don't say Hallelujah. Let me finish my sentence. Because they're not really hearing. They're just acting religion. Hallelujah. Then you come down. Alright. So yeah, it's a few bunch of Amen, Hallelujah, after I finish the sermon, the statement. Fine. The minister that got up there, wow. When he preached up there, they all say, Hallelujah, Amen, oh, they got excited. And I let them know what he said before the end of the sermon, you know what he said? Wow, this is like God speaking to mouth to mouth. Mouth to mouth. You know what I mean by speaking mouth to mouth? He was saying, before I finish my sentence, they understand, they say Amen. Mouth to mouth. I told the host pastor, I'm not going to preach because this whole thing is a mess. He said, yeah, I don't know. But later on, years after that, then he realized he had made a mess. He was offended by what I said. The banner on the top there, Bible Believer Fellowship, or Bible Believer Convention. And minister discussion, this minister stood up there with a bunch of programs. Open this book, Abraham said. Open this book, Abraham said. Open this book, Abraham said. The seal will reveal. Another group come up. No, the seal will not reveal. Will not reveal. Took the same book. Abraham said here, Abraham said there. So now, the Abraham said the seal was revealed or not revealed. Same books. Wow. I stood there. Again, I sat there in that minister's meeting. It was about almost 100 of them. And there were two foreign ministers sitting there and I look at them. And they were also looking at the book. They also have a bunch of books with them in the attaché case. Writing notes and all this. The one that came out said, yeah, the seal, someone said, has been revealed. Oh. The other one said, no, there was still copying them. And look, I sat there and looked at with my Bible in my hand. After that is finished, can I say something? Because I'm a foreigner. Yeah, okay, I already said. I stood back. I preached on the message of Noah. In 15 to 20 minutes, what was Noah's message?
before the flood came. What was Noah's message? God's going to send a flood. Right? How are you going to be saved? Get into the ark! And the people say, yeah, no one's in Nixon, yeah. But the rain is not coming. Why? What rain? There's no rain, no such thing as no more water come from heaven. We all know the water is coming from the ground. Right? Then after that, when the door is closed, before the door is closed, Noah and his family, how the animal went there, and the door remained open for 7 days. And all the people say, yeah. Wow, door is still open, maybe I should go in. Hey, don't be stupid, man! You want to go in? That old man is preaching, he's nuts! But you know, you got pressure from your community, huh? Don't listen to the old man. I said, yeah, okay. You know, he wanted to believe, but he did not move it. You know what I'm saying? But Noah says this. But Noah said that. Yeah, Noah said this. And Noah said that. So what is the ark? The ark is there open 7 days. The land finally went dark. Noah did not close the door. Actually, God closed the door. And once the door is closed, there's no opening. When your door is open, you better get in. Once it's closed, you bang and you knock. And you put a dynamite, it will never open. So I told them, the whole minister says, we are here. Look at the banner. Bible Believers Convention. What do I see here? I was standing there, I said, what do I see here? Very quiet. I don't see any quote from Scripture. All I have is a quote from Brother Branham. And that should be put down there. Not Bible Believer Convention, but quote convention. The pastor was offended. That's why he wrote this question to me and to Brother Jackson, and that causes the split. Because Brother Jackson took side with his own opinion. I couldn't care less. When I see something that is wrong and I'm in the midst of it, I will speak my mind. What do we have? What do we have? What do you have? You said, I have the word of life. Use it. Walk in it. In the fear of the Lord. Lots of people don't do that. I hope you walk in the fear of the Lord. And it came to pass. We are now in verse 32 on. So Peter now, when he passed through all the quarters, he came down to the same with Lydia, and there found a certain man named Aeneas, who had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. He kept his bed, it means, you know, he always, you know, in those days, people had just a small straw thing that you just lie down and sleep. And especially when you are have infirmities, people would carry you. Right? And they will be carried, of course, you'll be carried perhaps to the someplace near a temple so you could ask for alms. Just like the one that Peter, you know, gave legs to when he asked for alms. So now he kept the bed, he was with him and he was sick of the palsy, he always stuck to the bed, you know, kept his bed, stuck to the bed, can never move out of his bed. And Peter said unto him, Ananias, Jesus Christ, make thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Now, changing it, I hope you understand the way that wood is used. Peter said unto him, Ananias, Jesus Christ, make thee whole. Arise, make thy bed. For 8 years he kept his bed. He stuck to the bed. He kept it. Never move out of it. He always had it in his possession. You know, when you kept your wallet, it means your wallet is always with you. Huh? You go to shower, the wallet is with you. Wherever you go, the wallet is with you. You kept your wallet. But now Peter said, now you rise up. And what did he say? Make your bed. Now he's able to make his bed. He got up, he folded his bag, took it and walked with him. No, you know what I mean? Make a bed. Many of us, when we get up morning, we don't make our bed. Huh? It seems that we have been coming back from work, we just kept our bed, we just lie there, morning to night, the bed is not there.
So this is when, arise and make up man, and he arose merely. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Hey, this master said like a man, you know, the crippled man, Peter first healed, the Lord healed the man through Peter. And he said, they know this man for 8 years. And now he's picking up his bed and he walk. Of course, when you see miracle like this, you believe. When you have miracles, you see the miracles of God being done. You don't need faith, actually, to believe. Usually, right? And that's why we have all this charismatic preaching in America, you know. A lot of bogus thing that's going on. Peter Popoff, people Popoff, you know, you remember? The man with the earpiece in his ear and his wife is giving the information about this business. Oh, Lane, Linda, something, something from some sort of wedding, blouse, green brown, and got cancer, all this. And the woman says, oh, what a woman, you're not this. Wow! And they say, I believe in Jesus. Right? But what did Jesus say to Thomas? When Thomas said, I cannot believe that he rises up until I see his, the print in his hand, right in his hands, then I'll believe. When Jesus appeared, he said, Thomas, come, feel it. Thomas touched it, oh my, it's real, all right. My Lord and my God, what did Jesus say? Huh? You have seen me and you believe. But blessed are those who have not seen but believe. And Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, bless those who hear the word because of what this apostle said. Because they bear my word. That's why Jesus said, we handle the word of life. If the people can believe that testimony, blessed are them. And more blessed than what you have seen because of miracles. Huh? You know, revelation is supernatural. Revelation is a miracle. When you see something that not with this physical eye, you see something beyond this life, something that is spiritual on the other dimension, and you know it's real, you hold to it so tight. You know, that is really something. 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. Dorcas means a deer, a doe, or a gazelle. Alright, Tabitha is Hebrew. Dorcas is Greek. You know, you know, just name like Jacob. You know Jacob? Jacob. Jacob is Hebrew. Right? You know Jacob, the name Jacob is Hebrew? What is the Greek name for Jacob? So no. James. That's a Hebrew name. I mean, that's a Greek name. What about the Spanish name for James? No, I know it. San Diego. So what is the name, huh? There's no James. It becomes San Diego. You see? So my name is Richard. You go to what? I think Spain they call it Ricardo. Right. Yeah. See, so it's different. John is English. Johann, right? So that's Greek. So names will take them on pronunciation. Alright. Alright, let's continue now. And the woman was full of good works and alms deeds which he did. You know, there's a lot of people are just like that. Oh, just like Martha. When Jesus went to the house, their home, I mean, how does Jesus love the family so much? Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. The sisters and the brothers. He just loved them so much. So whenever Jesus was there and he would sit down, you know, to speak to whoever came into the house. And Martha is always busy with the coffee. Lord, have a cup of chai. you know, or maybe Tetare. You know, of course. But Mary is sitting down there just wanting to hear the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary makes sure that so and so, you must have your teeth. And bear me a breath, right? I mean, she's full of good works. And then some people are like that, you understand? And then she found out, oh my goodness, my sister is not doing anything. Lord, tell her to help me. And Jesus said, you know, Mother, you are just too busy with all these things, which is not necessary. She chose the best part. Your sister Mary chose the best part. There are times when we should drop everything and listen to the word. Is that right? Get the best part. You see? You've heard someone like, well, you have been testimony, you know, how people in their life are so busy with their work and all these things. And then they're walking and then you hear some, a little place, a little chapel, maybe a home, and you hear some singing gospel music and it's, okay, he's being drawn to. Okay, now let me just not go where I want to go. Just go there to the home and see what they're singing and maybe just feel the atmosphere. And then they, you know that they are being drawn towards it. And then they found Christ. Right? You see, Brother Tui was telling me, yeah, in Fiji there are so many churches, and there was a big church that, well, the pastor is big, not the church, it's big, it's the pastor who controlled the people, all different churches, and he's a bragamite, you know. But he, Brother Tui, over time he realized that, you know, there's something wrong with this. So Father, one day when he went to Japan, because, you know, in his, all this weather report, and, you know, he studied weather or something, the WHO conference. And he, he said that he couldn't sleep, so he went down to the lobby where they have this computer there in Japan. You know, they provide some hotel, they have a computer where you can go down there. And of course, that's not a cheap hotel, of course, because it is a conference and important people there. So he began to Google and want to find out more about the message up there. Must be, he came across our website. So he read a few messages. He said, wow. And he told me, he said, no, brother, God, I spent reading a few of the messages. Then I went up to bed. But yeah, when I learned, I couldn't sleep, I came down again and learned some. And that's when he called me. That's when he emailed me, Brother Gan, come to the meeting with us. I went the first time, and the second time, the man over there, the big guy, was fighting against him. Well, he died of a terrible disease. Now, he went trying to really run people away from coming to the convention. You know, sometimes people need to realize that you cannot fight against God. You don't agree, step away. But the more that you fight against the Lord, something will be done. Something will happen. If it wasn't the way that God dealt with Saul, it would be something else. You know? Yes. I pray that God show mercy to those who are ignorant of it. But as the Bible said, time has come. You know? God is no longer going with his eyes at your ignorance, but have called all men to repentance. Okay. And verse 37. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom they had washed, and they laid her in her upper chamber. So Tabitha or Dorcas died, and the people love her, of course. And it's so much so as for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, not very far, and the disciple heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. But they didn't, when they relayed the message to Peter, they didn't say anything about that. We have a woman that died, come and pray for her. No. Just says, come, we have somebody died, maybe just, you know,
say what you have to say to us, whatever. There's nothing mentioned about, okay, come and praise and raise him up from the dead. No. Okay, they want Peter to come and visit them and at least to know what he could do and what he could say. So Peter arose, went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by weeping and showing the coats and the garment which Dorcas made while she was with them. While they are saying, well, Peter said, look, this is the thing that this woman done for us. You know, but to this respect what God was doing. Alright. And Peter put them all the four and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. So this is just a miracle. God did all these miracles in the beginning of the early church, so that the people can have the faith and realize, yeah, we have a living God. And so when the news spread, of course, the people's faith will be strengthened. And they really live for it, they're willing to die for it. And he gave her his hand and lift her up, and when he called the saints and widows, present her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Chapter 10. There was a son of man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Now God began to work now with the Gentiles. A little bit more. Huh? Okay. There was this man called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. A centurion is a, well, we will call that one. He called the officer in charge of 100 men. Now remember, this was the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire is big. And it happened to be that this centurion was in charge of the Italian band, a large armed forces of soldiers who are all Italian people, that is to say. Huh? Okay? The Romans was controlling this empire. He was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, and give much alms to the people and pray to God always. Now, what is the Bible saying? He was a devout man. What kind of devout man was he? Was he, well, a man who's taken to a certain religion of his own or what? He's a devout man. A devout man, a religious man, but he feared God. And he prayed to God. But which God was he praying to? Huh? But when we begin to look at it closer, that Cornelius must have somehow, just like Abraham, when he was up there in Mesopotamia living in the Ur of Chaldee, all his king folks and people down there, many have already turned away from Yahweh. Because remember, after the flood, people migrated, and you get Nimrod building his own empire with all kinds of god, Milcom, Astaroth. What you have. And so they were more taken to the idol. And many of them say, yeah, we believe in the one true God. And then they create an image of the one true God. Just like Israel. When they were out there in the desert, and Moses was up there on Mount Sinai. Remember? 40 days and 40 nights up there. And now in the valley, the people say, Aaron, build us God. Make us God. Make us God. And yeah, I mean, that is very true. People make gods for themselves. What? Isn't it we have? The God that stands like this? The God that holds the hand like this? The whole God with all the knives and so many arms, right? Isn't it? And then the God that sits down with a big tummy? Or the God that lies down like this? We've got all kinds of gods that you make your own. And you make your own gods. Because in the days of Abraham descended his own children, they too have gods. The little gods they carry with them. The people today, you find that they're hanging along a chain. Right? You know what we call the Thailand, those images in the plastic box? You have seen that? Huh? That's God.
And yet, of course, some Christians have a big one. They have one with a big, it's just a cross. What do you want a big cross for? You think that's going to protect you? That cross is not going to protect you. Only in movie against vampire and a killer. Why? Yeah. They show you to Dracula, vampire, and but you think that word is around and people... No! People make any images for themselves because they wanted it. They wanted something to see. I need to see God. Wow, you want to see God? Even when Moses said, I want to see you. I said, no, you will not see me. You see my back. You cannot see me. Face to face. No man has seen God at any time. Any man can see God, you will die. The only time you ever see man is when you are in a changed body. When you get up there, then you will see the Father. Not here, not now, not ever. Until over on the other side. You remember this? Because why? In this flesh here, there is still sin in this body. So no problem, I'm a pure man, I'm sin like God, I have no sin. Yeah, okay, you have no sin, I know that you have no sin. Because it's under the blood. But this body is the corrupt. The black dog is totally corrupt. And how many times have you failed? And we feed the black dog, right? How many times have you feed the black dog? Huh? Tell me! Yeah, many times I fed the black dog. When I get upset with people in the train station especially. And I can't even come out, they try to push me and say, hey, hey, hey! You know? I mean, that's kind of, I could just keep quiet, but I'll say, hey, hey, of course I'm trying to tell the hey, like, let's go out first. You want to push us in? We are going out, you're pushing us in, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you see, young people refuse to give a seat for the old folks. So, whoa, man. You know, you think that this young man, and they use up the thing, and this young man, educated for nothing. You know, all this, we are feeling all this frustration because, you know, yeah. See. Alright. And a devout man and one to fear God with all his house. All his house means his household. Huh? The word house means household. His family, whoever relation is living with him, all his servants. Well, this central must be a man who fear God, but from what I understand, the way that I see him, just as Abraham, where all his people are all worshiping idol, Abraham was not a kind of person like that. Just like Saul and Paul and Barnabas, when they went to Athens, they saw all these many altars of people worship all kinds of God, and there was one altar that says, to the unknown God. Right? They're worshiping the unknown God. So you know Abraham. Yeah, so he had handed all the things from his great-grandfather. But Nimrod came and introduced all this, and then Nimrod being a very powerful man. And you know how that when he died? When his father died, his mother married him. And then when he died, Samuel Ramirez told the people that Nimrod is now God. So people are worshipping idols now. Until the time when Abraham came along, people must put up so many of God said, now, come out. Separate from yourself, from all these people, from your old kindreds. Just take your wife with you. Your family, your servant with you. Leave them out there. Come down and show you a place. Why was God choosing him? Do you think that Abraham really knew about this Yahweh, really? After all, so many generations of people in that region worshipping all this idol, and his uncle, auntie, nephew, cousin worshipping idols. What kind of influence? You'll be influenced in the right. You'll be greatly influenced. Sure. Well, don't believe me. We take Berlin, for example, a young man, right? I'll take your ear as an example. Let's say he has no guardians, no guiding from the parent, the mother. And if he doesn't use his wisdom, and he mixes with all the youngsters, right? And here the young ones, you know how they do today, with all the modern technology, with all the modern songs and all the thing and this and that, you know how they, I mean, sometimes I watch the dances that they have on video, huh? You know how these people really can dance? Right, all kind of thing, the trees around the thing, you know how they do all this? Wow, fanciful, yeah, I mean, okay, you mix all this thing, and one group will smoke the cigarette, and come on, man, come on, try, and all that stuff. I know, because I was at that age one time. I went out to watch a movie in the theater. That's what we have called the Great Wall City. Huh? There was the theater's no more there. That time you watch a movie, it's only 20 cents. If you receive 20 cents, you go in. And 20 cents puts you right in front, the first free row. And you go watching the screen like that. You know? So I watched, I went by myself, watch. And then here came a group of youngsters, and they are Indian. You know, young ones. So I was sitting there, and they looked at me, and they were smoking away. In those days, you can smoke. And they saw me, on the track, give me a cigarette. Okay. Of course, he's trying to be in with them, you know, that sort of thing. So I just, I couldn't breathe in because that. But menthol, man, that's one cigarette that's well known to me, but you don't hear it today. It's called mentholated cigarette. And I still remember the advertisement today. It goes like, cool, cool, cool has the mountain air, fresh, fresh, fresh has the newborn day. Mentholated cigarette. But when I remember till today, because they're playing on the screen, and these young people are smoking mentholated cigarette. It's cool, nice. You know, they're sucking, you feel the coolness. That was the time I started smoking cigarette, and that's the last time. I did not realize, well, don't mix with this one. All these things is going to take you away. Right? If you don't want to pull out, you'll be sucking. So, Abraham, come out! Because Abraham must have been looking at him. My great-grandfather, they believe in the one true God. Yahweh, where is he today? Maybe he's up there always looking at the stars, wondering about this. Huh? So when God called him, I don't know why God called him, but God chose him, whatever the reason. Maybe just like Cornelius. He has seen all his other, this pagan God, the Roman God, the Greek God. Right. But he must have seen, wow, the Jewish people. They worship this one called Yahweh. So he might have become so devout person in praying to him, not realizing who this God really is or was. And he was, full of charitable work. You know, God always looks down from heaven and see our life, everybody's life. The wicked one, the holy one, the charitable one, the self-righteous one. And yet, he will pick guys like Saul. And he will pick men like Cornelius. Huh? And the man who is sick on the bed, stuck to his bed, palsy for 8 years, get Peter to pray for him, and he writes, God works in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. Amen. All right, let's continue. And he saw in a vision about the ninth hour of the day. 9 hours is what time? 3 o'clock. Yeah. An angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius? And when he looked up, he was afraid. He said, oh, what is it, Lord? The word Lord here means, remember, it's not Lord as you know that he is God. Huh? Lord here means it's a name, it's a word that addressed somebody who is
showing the power of somebody who is in charge, somebody is trained, somebody that kind of be the voice of authority. You call it God.
And the angel said to him, thy prayer and thy arms are come up for a memorial before God. Oh my goodness! If you ever heard someone talk to you, your good word has come as a memorial. Wow! Isn't it nice?
You see,
you know, the one thing about it for sure, they, everybody is on this earth, and whatever good word they have done, God remembers them. Huh? That's why in the day of judgment, when the books are open, God's going to look at the works. Yeah, you're looking at all this good work, this and that. You already have your reward on this earth. Right, what about, look at Mother Teresa. We all know her, right? She already passed away. Mother Teresa, well known. Spending her life working among the filthy and the poor in Calcutta. And yet at the end of it, she was dying, she didn't even know where she had salvation. She confessed. Right? You see, one thing Brother Abraham make a remark which is so true. Some people don't realize, even though they do all the good work, they believe in Jesus, and yet in the end they're not sure whether they have eternal life. And Bob Graham only said one thing, okay, which is true. Unless you're born again. If you are born again. And some people, you know, they don't realize they've been born again. Yeah, I know. There are some people who have been Christian for long, now after maybe about 10 years down the road, all this time, I was a Christian, I didn't even know I've been born again. They kind of odd, huh? Maybe he just doesn't breathe the kind of life that he really, you know, of joy and all these things. He goes through life all doing all the things and go to church and do all the good works, but never felt. Because why? They're perhaps busy with their work, busy with doing it. Do you know one thing about it? Doesn't matter. Matter. So busy with all serving. No time to listen and breathe life of the Word of God. But matter of eternal life too. In the presence of the Lord. But he doesn't realize the importance of hearing more word and getting more life. The more you hear the word of God, the more you have it, the more joys and life that you breathe. Oh yeah. I know that to be sure. Because when I backslid the first year after school and when I went to secondary school, I backslid because of a remark made by the teacher. I backslid for 2 years. I never deny Christ. I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. But I was in a doldrum. No raging wave of joy. Just a calm pool, a doldrum, and nothing more. Then when the Holy Spirit hit me, whoa! It's totally different. Right? Why didn't you just have taught this? Come on, move! But again, I taught this to move. The God, when he came to move, great, everything goes back in to the shell. Right? Come on, move! It won't move. How do you make it move? Like a fire on the backside. And the God, you don't have it? You don't see? Try it. You see, sometimes when we don't move, God has to put fire on our back. Get up! Move! And he said, oh yeah! Oh, hallelujah. You begin to shout. Alright. Verse 5. And then send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Now, there is Simon's in the court, a common name, huh? Simon the Tanner, and then here we have Peter Simon. Right? Petros. Simon. Okay. Now, he lodged with one Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what you ought to do. And when the angel of his father Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them. They wait on him continually. What? You look at this man Cornelius, he was a centurion. Loved by his people. even a soldier that was tend to his, you know, his needs. Not that he was lazy, but no. You know, I said, two men, one soldier, three. You know, two is awareness. This number represent three is completion. There is no denial. Two enough to be a witness. Three, you cannot argue against it. Right? Two may be a conflict witness. But when you get three, you can, you lose your case. Alright. So, when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the 6 hours. So while the men laughed, you know, they continued their journey, it takes overnight. So, happened that in the morning, Peter was praying. As well, Peter was went up on the housetop to pray about the 6 hours. Okay, 6 hours, 6 hours, 12 o'clock. Let us go to the book of Psalms. Psalms 5, 55, verse 17. Well, KK, what do you mean?
55:17. Evening, yes. Morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and you shall hear my voice.
Right. Some people pray 3 times. Some people pray, like the Muslim, they pray 5 times a day. Alright. So we have actually 6 p.m., 6 a.m., noon, 3 a.m., or 3 p.m., and 9 a.m. Christ was crucified at 9 a.m., and he was on the cross the whole 6 hours until 3 p.m. So you have noon, it's a common time people pray, as well as 3 p.m. as well. So now, Peter went up to the house to pray about the 6 hours. And he came very hungry and would have eaten. When they made ready, he fell into a trance. So Peter went up there in the heat of the day. I mean, he go up there on the rooftop to pray. Now there's no time, food is going to be served. Usually food served after 12 o'clock. So he would have wanted to go and eat, but he went to a trance. Okay, you know, when you're sleepy, perhaps that takes a problem. And God gave him that vision, put him into a trance, so to speak. And what did he see? The heavens opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him as it were, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, where it were all manners of four footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." So while he was in a trance, and that's sometimes many times vision comes in a trance. Alright? So you have these large sheets, you know, like a handkerchief. Big watch it like a handkerchief, the four corners are being held together and let down. Wow, there was a lot of animals on it. And he says, four-footed animal, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowl of the air. And Peter, rise, kill and eat. Peter said, "Oh, these are common and unclean. Those are things I don't touch." So what is common and unclean? Remember I said that when the Bible used two words, they are different. The word common here can be translated as profane. It can be translated as profane. I don't touch anything or eat anything that's profane or unclean. So what does it mean between profane and unclean? There's some slight difference. So here we have the relationship with all kinds of animals. Four-footed animal, the wild one, of course, the wild animal, nobody eats them. You know, especially a lion, you know, you don't eat those lions. Rhinoceros, do you eat rhinoceros? Yeah, some people are hungry, they eat, you know. Now people, when they have no food, they eat rats and what? Out there, they,
yes.
Dogs, the Filipinos, ah, you love dogs, some people keep dogs and kill. China, they eat dogs. They eat monkeys, oh yeah, of course. But you know, this somebody to the Jew, they consider a no-no. So what is common and unclean? Profane, unclean. So not all animals that we consider profane are really unclean in itself. Okay, we take for example now, the creeping things. We know what creeping things are. The word creeping things actually in the Hebrew word and the Greek word actually what come from the Old Testament. Remember the Genesis, what creeping things, you know. And it means also any things that has wings.
move around, fly. Those are creeping things because they originally from a small little thing that want to morphosize and then they, you know, jump or fly. So what is this creeping thing that you cannot eat? You know, you can eat grasshopper, locust, right? But how do they arrive at it? Well, in Leviticus, you do it already. Some places, sometimes they list it out for you. So what are the creeping things you are supposed to eat? Anybody love lizard? No? You love it? Lizard, make up your mind about the geckos.
No, that's geckos.
Ah, that's a lizard, that's a gecko. Not the monitor lizard. Yeah, some people like the monitor lizard, but those are you not supposed to eat, they are profane. But not that they are hungry, they are profane. That's a no-no. But we eat them. Some men die, you don't eat them, of course this is terrible. Then that creeping thing also include no, the swimming one in the sea. Oh, fish. Fish that has fin and scale, you can eat. Fish that has fin but no scale, you cannot eat. But we all love shark meat, shark fin. But you know we are not under the wall, right? But those are the dead God is trying to let them say that something you cannot eat. You understand this? Yeah. Total! You cannot eat, but we love it. Isn't that strange? Okay, what about birds? And it says, fowls of the air. What birds you cannot eat? What birds can you eat? We can eat turtle dove. But what birds you cannot eat? The vultures, the eagles, the hawk. Yeah. What about the beasts, those 4 foot of beasts? What can you not eat? The one the Bible said, some in no place, like the animal that chew the cup. Right? And whose hoof is parted. What is that? You can eat cow. Right? But the animal like the pig, hoof is parted. But it doesn't chew the cup. Ah, that is unclean. What about the rabbits and the hare? They chew the cup. But his feet is like a cat's feet. You don't eat that. That's profane. What about the horse? Horse that you do a cut. Right? Doesn't have top food, just a hoof. You can eat. So there are all these laws that's given Old Testament. So the Jew knows about it. But you know, you read from the Bible, there's sort of things that are not clear cut. But in the Hebrew that was passed down from there, Moses, they would know what can, what cannot. But still, when it comes up further now to our day, even among Judaism, there is a conflict. Some say, oh, this one you can, this one you cannot, you know. But you say, we are thankful that we are not under the law. Right? If we are under the law, you will be saying, hey, brother, again, this one cannot. So who said so? Then he said, Rabbi so and so. Huh? Right? We'll be having opinion. Right? How many of you love Siham? Cockles. How many of you hate it, huh? Oh, I love it. I love it so much, one day I always, you know, I have extra cockles in my char kway teow. And that time when my neighbor, the GP in Jurong West, where I lived at that time, he saw me one day eating at Hawker Center, he looked at my plate of char kway teow with the cockles, he looked at me, wow, are you a carrier? He said, I am. I'm a carrier of hepatitis. Most people who are eating cockles, we all eat milk. We are carriers. Doesn't do other stuff. But we don't pass it to you. Alright. But some people, they know. They get it. They might get it. And you get help. Problem with your liver. Alright. So we thank God for that. Alright. Let's call it finished. Quickly has all the film apart. And the boy spoke unto him again the second time. What God hath cleansed, don't that call not thou common. That was done 3 times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. And when Peter looked up in himself, what is this vision he had seen should mean? Behold, the man which was sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. When Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, 3 men seek you. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, don't doubt anything, doubting nothing what I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the man which was sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom thou seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man. Oh wow, they give such a credit to Cornelius, huh? Because they knew him. He was a just man and wanted to fear God, and of good report among all nations of the Jews, were warned from God and by an holy angel to send for you unto his house and to hear the words of yours. And then he called them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and a certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Now, let's close with this here. You see, now here God is showing his work. Alright? Now we know this all on record in the Bible. But in modern day, after the Bible was written, as the Gospel went around to, there are many testimony how God works on both sides. God works on the side of Cornelius. Because God has to prepare Peter, you know. Alright? And he showed Peter all this vision, so that Peter would not be caught by surprise. Wow. You know, just calling here somebody, strange, some Gentile come here and ask me to go to his house. Oh, that's a no-no. You know, so God had to prepare Peter so that he would know what to expect. So he, God works on both sides. You know, that's why one sister in this church, years ago, I put her out of the church because of her disobedience. I give her time and warn her second time all this, and he refused, let her argument against the word of the Lord, and she got herself pregnant. She was just against what the word of God said. She cut her hair. I said, why you cut your hair? Oh, because the doctor, I went to consult about my hair, because there's a lot of lies. The doctor said, you have long hair, that's why you have lies. I said, oh, it means all the sister long hair, lies. Is that it? You know, so she cut her hair. I don't care if you want to cut your hair, but you must say you're going to stand before God. That's one thing you need to understand. We all have to give an account to the Lord. Don't forget that. Either you want to make it to heaven or you don't. Simple as that. Like a friend of mine, a Presbyterian friend of mine, said, Richard, are you telling me that all these people who follow your message, and Brother Branson, I said, I'm going to make the rapture. I said, no. What? I told you, I'm going to make the rapture. I said, that's what you're saying. That's what you think, so that every Christian will make the rapture out there. That's what you're saying. The message was given to us for one purpose. God is making a bride ready for himself. And you need to prepare. And if you don't fear the Lord, don't walk according to the word, you want to spurn it, you are answerable to God. Because the day when the thunder sound, when the door is closed, you will be hanging out there. Because you see, disobedience is not what God wants. And the Bible tells us to love God with all our hope. You know, I know you have your weakness. So did Paul. So did Peter. But when God shows something, they follow through. Right? Peter was warned by a vision first, so that he would not be caught by surprise. Because you know, the Jew have a standard. They cannot mix with a Gentile, they cannot go to a Gentile's home. And the gospel cannot be preached to a Gentile as far as he was concerned. Because Jesus said, I come to search for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Right? And the disciple was with him when he was a woman who was a Gentile woman who need a healing from Christ. And what did Jesus say? I don't cast even a crumb. You know, ask for pizza. I don't give bread to dogs. The woman admitted, yes, I'm a dog. But even the dog, tempter comes from the masters under the table at the foot. Jesus said, wow, what great faith you have. You know. Did you ever heard it? Yeah,
The Gentiles are dumb. I'm a dog. But God called me. God called you. You're all dogs. So what do we do with them? That's what we do with it. And Cornelius, God even had to send an angel to talk to him. You really love me, I know. Your word has come as a memorial. But send an angel, call for Peter to come and he'll tell you what to do. I mean, the angel got tired, believe the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what we say. But God works through men. Some people say, I don't need to go to church, come and speak to me. Really, the angel will come there and talk to you and teach you. You know, people have all that concept. We know the word better today. Amen? The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace so far. Grant us your grace. That we live the life as you want us to do, O Father. We commit the word, Lord, spoken in, that we hear, Father, that which we receive from you. Into your hand, Lord, that you grind it, Father, deep into our soul and spirit. That you stay there deep in our hearts, O Father. Yes, Lord, that we open our heart to receive it and keep it there that we may not sin against thee. Let not our opinion, Father, stand before you, Lord. Don't let our opinion and what we think is right. When we know that, I would say there's a way that's inviting to a man, but then there is the way of death. Father, purge us, Lord, from all our thoughts that are unclean and common, profane, and feed us, O Father, with your holy word, and then we walk in it, fearing you and living the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your grace, Lord. I ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.